Can you recognize what album this is? I don't think you can.
Well, yeah, Tenacious D.
All right, cool. Yeah,
I caught that also right away. Immediately what I thought was, oh, he's just trying to get me into a better mood by showing me a much better album that I wish that we were talking about today.
It's better than a few of their albums. And then also I got my left, or the remainders of my food right there.
Ooh, what'd you have?
What is it called? Zatarain's Blackened Chicken Alfredo. My God, I'm addicted. I'm
this
addicted,
episode brought to you by...
by Zatarain's, please.
Welcome to Know Your Rights, a music podcast from two guys who know just enough about songwriting to start a podcast about.
Follow Rob
and Colton
as each week we dive into a different band or songwriter and discuss what makes them great,
okay, or otherwise.
Music is law,
and we know our rights. I think at this point I'm like so kind of relaxed to do this now that I feel like I get too like,
don't care, it's fine.
Well, I'm just so comfortable talking to you, but I forget. I'm like, I have to like be interesting to be heard.
Don't worry, we're not interesting. It'll be fine.
Welcome
everybody. Welcome to probably our most polarized episode yet.
I don't know if that's, well, do you think that's true?
I think it might be because I have such a great history with Streetlight Manifesto and you have a horrible last 2 weeks.
I want to pinpoint something you said just then, which is you have a great history with this band. I'm curious to know this, everyone, by the way, welcome. Streetlight Manifesto fans, learn to dislike this voice that you're hearing.
Oh, and, yeah, he is your enemy.
And but I love you. Even though I don't know you, I don't know who you are. I love you and welcome. And it's okay. We're all here together. But I'm curious to know how much Streetlight Manifesto takes up in your present day versus like high school.
Versus high school, definitely not the same, because for me, Streetlight is so nostalgic. I texted Casey Miller, the real culprit for why this is the episode. And yeah. I will get into that here in a minute. Yes. Hello, Miller. Thank you from my end. Fuck you from Colton's end.
My goal is to make sure people are much more hesitant to request bands from here on out.
We might be closing it after the next episode.
No, I'm saying request them. Go ahead. Have us talk about your favorite bands. It's just this is what happens.
Complete opposite of what he said a few days ago. But that's all right. Yeah, I mean, I still listen. My favorite song that I chose, which we will get into after the ad break, I still listen to that fairly regularly.
So it's in the rotation.
Yeah, it's in the rotation. One particular album is much more in the rotation than the other three, because we did throw in Keysby Nights.
I don't have a lot to say about it, although you did remind me of one song that I've actually played live that I had forgotten existed, but we can get into that.
Yeah, we're saving it for anybody who's new to our podcast. Welcome, like we said it when we came out of the intro. But we also kind of jibber jabber for a little bit here.
Yeah, I mean, don't undercut it. We do. We do more than jibber jabber. We
had like nothing prepared today. There was nothing.
You literally just told me you're like, I got something prepared.
I have an idea.
That's something.
That's not prepared. Well, I don't know. I would be very nervous if I was doing this in front of a class, doing a presentation.
How about in front of a podcast audience? Wait, now tell me what it is. We can cut this out.
But we likely won't. We're going to go over how this episode manifested, how this episode Streetlight manifested itself, which is via email. We're going to dive in to, as we say every episode, if you have opinions or requests, I mean, slow it down on the requests, but if you have opinions on what we say, email us at
WIRTES.
WIRTES. Mm-hmm. How about WRITES?
Did I miss something? What did I miss?
You mixed up the R and the I. He's frazzled. He's frazzled, everybody. He's not too happy right now.
Rob was late to recording, so I was listening to more Streetlight to bone up. And you know, I was.
to compensate for that, when I had to text your wife, as per usual, it's the only way to get a hold of Colton. Mm-hmm. I called Colton something that I told you I would never call you.
What did you call me?
Dr. Colton or Dr. Sailor.
Dr. Sailor. Yeah. What a good God. It sounds like two jobs thrown together. Yeah. Yeah. No dot your dot writes writes.podcast@gmail.com. You will maybe have opinions after this show, or just say hi, or you know what? Request something, but at your own peril.
Well, here we go. May 24th, day one of requesting Streetlight Manifesto. That's all it is. Thank you, Miller. Mm-hmm. Cool. He did have a day two request where I told him, all right, that it's on. Well, it may take a few months.
And wait. So this was May 24th. You had decided this.
I didn't decide that we were
looking me in the eye for a month, 2 months, looking me in the eye and not telling me this was coming.
Well, I didn't know it was going to come that soon. Judas. I figured we were going to have whatever. Fine. I am not called. You are not Jesus. We are not going that route.
All right.
And then I have day three of requesting Streetlight Manifesto, in which he tells me Bob Belcher and Archer are the same voice. Okay. Thank you, Miller, for that bit of information. Day four of requesting Streetlight Manifesto. Matt Stewart, a longtime trumpet player in ska band Streetlight Manifesto, died at age of 41 on Sunday, September 10th. The band has confirmed. The group said he died of natural causes. Thanks for bringing me down, Miller. Rest in peace, Matt. Mm-hmm. Day five of requesting Streetlight Manifesto. Gotta keep it up until I see this episode. Day six of Streetlight Manifesto. It's 1:15 a.m. Technically, it's a new day.
So, okay, can we pause here? Because
no, there's more.
I got this days. Feels like a Streetlight Manifesto song.
It is a little.
I get the idea of it, and it still it keeps going, and I want it to stop, and
you
it
know
won't
what?
Stop.
You got to just sit through it. I got day seven, day eight of requesting Streetlight Manifesto. Almost missed it. Still 1 hour left. And it goes on to day nine, day 10 of requesting Streetlight Manifesto. Some people say that Streetlight Manifesto isn't ska. Will this be talked about? Do you know your rights? On. I don't know. That was a challenge, apparently, for Miller. And no, I don't count them as ska, personally. Or as straight up ska. So there. Talked about. I'm sure we'll dive into that a little bit further.
Yeah.
Day 11, day 12, I'll speed it up. Day 13, day 14, day 15, day 16, and that's where he finally bails.
He bailed on day 16.
Day 16, which was June 14th. You were having fun in Hawaii, not knowing that Vacation Colton would die from these emails.
Yeah, I was in a good place coming out. You did me a solid. We talked about a band I really loved for high school. And I guess this is kind of turnaround is fair play, yeah. I want to say, because
the yin and yang.
And I do think that if people listen to the Vendetta Red episode and then you listen to Streetlight, I think it's a pretty great kind of explainer for where you and I were in our kind of high school adolescent years.
Yes.
Where we were coming from.
I actually kind of theorize now that when you say you don't listen to artists that get requests or get suggested to you, probably the first one I suggested to you was Streetlight, and you went, nope, I'm never listening to this asshole again on who I should listen to.
And you were not the person to, well, okay, let's save this because I know that's going to be a nice introduction to the band, but you were not the person to introduce me to Streetlight. You were maybe the second or third, but this whole 2 weeks, and I know our friend Casey, by the way, Casey, thank you for being such a great, I don't know, we don't have a name for our listeners, do we? Writers?
No definitely not. No, that.
That's awful. That's it. Knowers?
If you have a suggestion, everybody, you can suggest names for our listeners.
Yeah, but you great friend of the podcast.
Yes.
What I was thinking about my history with ska. I know the question whether or not they're a ska band. I also just don't care whether or not they are. Although I agree with you that I don't think they are. But it's
not entirely. Yeah.
Made me think about what bands I know of that I would consider to be ska. Because I was actually thinking at one point, this is kind of like our Daft Punk episode that we did from New Year's of last year, which was where both of us were panicking going, we don't know what good house sounds like. So what are we,
sure. Yeah.
What are we supposed to do? I think you are more versed in this than I am. It's not an accusation. Eh,
but you're take more it versed, as an accusation. Right? Yeah. I mean, this is very telling. Like we said, get ready for non-vacation Colton.
Can I hear, right? Ska when Colton. You hear ska, what bands come, like first bands come to mind when you hear that? Okay.
Like, I am not well versed.
Operation Ivy.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. I had a lot of Christian friends, so Five Iron Frenzy. Right?
Okay. Yeah.
Those, and like, I've, like, you know,
honestly, Mighty Mighty Boss Tones is probably the first time I ever heard ska. Never had to knock on wood.
Right.
That was a fairly big hit.
Which is, I think that's a good song.
It's not bad. Not bad. I like the lyrics. I like the honesty behind the song.
I've never had to knock on wood. I actually, thank you for reminding me of that song. That's a great song.
There's a little bit when I listen to that song where I'm like, you haven't gone through anything? Why am I listening to your music? Like, you need to have some of those hard knock fucking moments.
He's never had to. It's fine.
Apparently. Yeah.
But so,
Jesus Christ,
what is the appeal? This is not me being an asshole, I promise. I'm actually, because I think I know where I think Scott comes from for me and what I get from it when and if I listen to it. But what is the upside of ska?
I don't fucking know. I mean, it's
great.
It's to me, ska is a much more live element. What is it called? The dancing,
skanking.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of that. There's a community behind it. There's like, I don't know. I don't know what people get from it listening to it at home,
just by
themselves.
When I was in the early 2000s, when I was in high school, ska was already kind of the joke. And like people who listened to ska were, it was some, I think most of the time playful, maybe other times not so playful. Mm-hmm. It was a kind of a source of derision. I think you saw Less Than Jake and stuff. They were on Warped Tour.
Yeah, which I honestly really don't like Less Than Jake.
Oh, I hate Less Than Jake. Yeah, they're less than most things. Hey, yeah. Bridge.
We found something. Yeah, exactly.
We both like Knock on Wood.
There you go. Olive
this
branches.
Episode's
all around.
Going great. And Superman, that song from Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Three Doors Down is the first thing that popped into my head.
Here I am, getting older all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You and Max talked about that soundtrack.
Yes, we did. But honestly, I was just trying to figure out how to balance my grinds on that game.
Well, that was the song I played during the demo, which I think myself and my friend Deontay at elementary school played maybe 5 hours straight, just the demo. Just that ska song. I know that there is a lot from ska, and like this high energy when the horns come in, it's like this really triumphant, and like I love a good horn section, right?
I agree.
In different kinds of music,
which I actually thought you hated horns. What I thought you hated horns.
I made some wild declaration that saxophone and rock music I didn't like. It was mainly because Jimmy Eat World threw a saxophone solo in, I think, one of their records on Surviving, or one of the songs. And I was like, oh, no, don't do that.
Well, don't give it away. Eventually, we're coming back to the latter stages of
Jimmy. I am pro saxophone. I'm pro brass. But
just not in rock music.
It's got to be used. It's got to be used in ways where I think it makes sense, like out of context. It doesn't always make sense to me, but there's a lot about it that I like. And it's pop punk to me, like just total straight, like ooey gooey kind of bubblegum pop kind of melody. And that's not always a bad thing to me. Right. Yeah. Like I think all of that I was trying to keep in check, and I was trying to apply that to my experience with Streetlight, and I wasn't getting a lot from it.
So, well, Streetlight's kind of, I feel like they're ska. I'm sure that most of the ska community would say yes, they're ska, but I hear more of like a progressiveness to it and much more far-reaching songs when it comes to composition.
This is maybe the best kind of show for a camera, because I know you're going to get a lot of what just happened with my eyebrows. I apologize.
Quit looking at yourself. You're supposed to be looking at me. I look at you.
Calling them progressive means that American Idiot is a progressive record.
It is for Green Day.
Okay.
Where I think this is
progressive,
I'm going to
allow that.
For ska.
It's okay.
Can you think of another ska act that kind of veers off the path more than them?
I just a lot of long bridges, really long,
very,
bridges.
Very more, long,
very like that's, and I guess in that way it's, yeah, progressive ska. I mean, you're the one who coined like one of the most brilliant moments of this podcast, coining Tool as progressive new metal.
Yeah,
which I still think about, and I'm like, that's totally it, and that's such it. A great.
Yeah.
This is progressive ska. There we go.
My second brilliant moment on this podcast.
Also, not for nothing, but I was so close to having this opening segment be about Limp Bizkit's new single that just came out.
I have not heard this. They released a single. I thought they were just going to take the fact that for some strange reason, there is a revamping of Limp Bizkit fans.
I mean, anytime that Eminem does something, I think Limp Bizkit, it's kind of like one of those fish that clings to like whales and like sharks.
Yeah, the what is it? The symbiotic. The symbiote,
yeah.
Yeah. The symbiotic relationship of Limp Bizkit to Eminem.
Whenever Eminem comes out, they're like, oh, what's that? And they kind of crawl from the surface.
I did see a moment where it was Fred Durst on stage in one of the venues he's played at recently where you could tell like he wanted to cry. And I was like, man, I still don't like your music, but he has one of the worst musical paths to fame I've ever seen. I've never seen somebody go from the top of the mountain to the bottom of the valley that mm-hmm. severely. He went from like, yeah, everybody loves Limp Bizkit to everybody's like, he's a fucking clown.
I think that, and it's up to us, right? As people who came you of age me? In the Hell early yeah. 2000s, people of our generation and of our particular musical leanings at the time that Limp Bizkit was big. I think whenever a band is like, kind of the joke, right? Where people like Generation Z people, I'm guessing, who like listen to Bizkit and go, oh, why would they ever be big? I think every generation has a band they have to own up to and go, we made them big. And yeah. they were at the time huge. Like when
enormous, yeah.
Significant Other and Chocolate Starfish were out. That was like I was day one in Walmart getting the heavily edited version of both. And
oh yes, the heavily edited to where you can't listen to what is it, the fuck song.
Two more times.
Yeah. And it's just like, oh my god, you can't listen to this edited. That is way too many, like yes.
They had the end together and then the the rolling and then the rolling Street Assault version. Oh lord.
But I think our generation got wise to the fact that this guy's a terrible lyricist. Except for yeah. Boiler Room. I think Boiler is, I think, a pretty good though.
You're giving away our
somebody like you.
And the Mission Impossible. I think, okay, this is our mini Limp Bizkit episode, everybody, because I don't think we're ever going to do it. I think whenever they leaned to let Wes Borland cook and they did,
oh, man,
like slightly less, like I think more of the metal than the new of the metal, they were not bad.
They weren't bad. And Wes Borland is a very underrated guitarist. He and Tom Morello, I think, share some very similar experiment, like when it comes to that kind of experimenting with the mm-hmm. guitar and like kind of doing the pickup change. For the listener, if you're not familiar, you have different pickup settings, and you can sometimes have certain guitars where you can mute one of the pickups and you can kind of bounce that switch to where you go from having the sound and it creates that stutter effect that is very famous by Tom Morello. And Wes Borland, he does it on plenty of songs, but he just wasn't the first. And you have Fred Durst kind of as your front man with really crummy lyrics. He ended off quitting the band. I mean, it's not like we're saying anything new.
And then he came back.
Yeah, he came back. Because
he was in from first to last for like 1 second.
Yeah.
I don't know, everyone. This is knowledge we have, and we have to say to you, because otherwise we just have it. It's weird. Well,
and like we said, we didn't fully prep this segment. So here we are talking about Limp Bizkit.
I think it turned out great. I think this is the natural starting point to talk about Streetlight, because they're very close in my brain.
You can Streetlight is better than Limp Bizkit. I will go on record right now of saying that.
I've had more fun listening to Limp Bizkit songs.
You were a fucking kid.
This was bad, man.
And now you're a fucking child.
And now we have to take a break. And we're going to start. Welcome to the first ad break of the last episode of this podcast.
Leo, please split us up for a moment.
Do you have to use the restroom?
Of course I do, Colton. I have been drinking and listening to Streetlight all fucking morning.
Go ahead, buddy.
All right. Now we get to cook after this, man. Never mind. I'll just. I'm so frazzled. There's a lot to talk about.
Poor guy.
If you're looking for fun events, awesome music, and enjoyable podcasts, then look no further. The Baseball and Entertainment family has you covered. With so many talented people in our community, it was only right that we not only bring you events, but all sorts of awesome entertainment. Follow Baseball on social media or join our Discord community to stay updated and engaged in everything. That is at Baseblown on social media and discord.gg/baseblown for our Discord. Baseblown Entertainment, bringing you more than just bass in your face.
You want to bring us back?
All right. Welcome back, everybody. I have officially drained the lizard. No, I'm just kidding. Welcome back, everybody.
Did you like two episodes feeling like you didn't have your mother on the podcast? You know, like
a little bit.
Rob, please.
Yeah. When dad's away, the kids will play type of scenario.
Well, I do have something to start us with.
All right, good. Then why did you ask me to bring us back?
Well, I wanted you to be like, welcome back, everybody. You did a good job.
Thanks, man. I feel like I've said that so many episodes. Thanks, man.
Hey, it's because I try to give you a lot to be thankful for. You're a great guy.
Well, thanks.
I'm buttering you up for this because this is going to get bad.
All right.
We did this with Daft Punk, and I actually, and there was no, I promise you, there's no irony in me doing this. I was actually panicking. I was like, I have to be able to find something. So I Googled, why is Streetlight Manifesto good?
Okay.
And the beautiful people at Reddit have given me a post. I'm not going to, well, wait, Volume Straight is the posters from 4 years ago. It's called Why is Streetlight So Good? That is the title. I'm going to read seven things that this person has posted.
Okay.
And I want you to tell me, as we go through them, which ones you agree with.
The seven commandments of, you said, is the name?
Volume Straight is the name of the Reddit person.
Okay.
Okay.
Shouts out Volume Straight.
Yeah. Otherwise known as Thomas, probably. Okay. Number one, slightly nasal punk vocals.
That's what's good about it.
Yeah.
I mean, his voice reminds me a little bit of, I can't remember the guy from NoFX.
Yeah. This is a good start. That's good. Okay. It's got that.
I like some NoFX songs. So.
I was going to say Tim Armstrong from Rancid. It's got a...
I'm not the biggest fan of
Rancid. Hey, we're in a good place right now, though.
Yes.
We're starting in a good place.
By we, he means... Colton and I, because there's probably some people who really like Rancid. They have quite the following, but
yeah, that's fine. It's fine for them. Number two, perfect punk ska/ska guitar tone deep in the mix.
I actually do like the volume of his guitar within the mix.
I just think it's important to it. It's weird that the mix and the album says why this band is so good. I feel like for that to be number two, that's a weird stretch to already we're going into the way.
Number one was already a weird fucking.
It's a weird
example.
List.
Yeah.
But you know what? There we go.
You're doing great, volume.
Number three, lyrics with literary references mixed with spiritual questions and occasional simple life experiences.
He also left out a little bit of a anti-war.
Yeah. He uses a lot of war allegories for being so anti-war, but. Yeah.
I like Thomas's lyrics.
I don't think I've used this word a lot. I hate his lyrics.
Yeah, you have used that word.
I think they're really bad.
They're not. There are bad ones.
I think
I have in my notes, but I don't think overall. I think he actually does a pretty good job.
I think
of,
for him to say they have like literary references and spiritual questions, I think it's. I don't agree. I don't know.
Honestly, I think he's talking about one song. Like Holden Caulfield from, you know, J.D. Salinger's Catcher in the Rye. And then he brings up Hemingway in that same song.
Yeah, that was fun for him to
do
that.
I have nothing bad to say about that song.
I just feel like it's the equivalent of like a really upset teenager yelling, why me? Like that question, which is like a philosophical question, like why me?
Sure.
As a spiritual question. that to me is where I think a lot of these lyrics are coming from. And maybe that's good for some people.
I think actually a lot of the lyrics come from this was all conjecture from back in the day. But I remember somebody telling me that he had a really big problem with Kurt Cobain. Again, same song that I'm referencing. Mm-hmm. Honestly, this is going to be my best song. So if nobody knows by now, this is my favorite song that I'm discussing. But mm-hmm. yeah, like he had an issue with like Kurt Cobain killing himself like in the prime of his life, and just like he couldn't find a way to get out of it. And and I like his lyrics because most of them are uplifting. And to me, without being horrifically lame, uplifting lyrics can bum me out sometimes, which mm-hmm. is wonderful, right? I want music with teeth.
Yeah, I'm with you in that. Yeah. I really am. All right, number four. I'm like, okay. They get
no,
weird.
No. Come on, man.
Number four.
Yeah.
Running metal style bass lines.
I don't agree with that.
No. I don't have a lot of bad things to say about the instrumentation behind these songs. I want to get that out right now.
I'm surprised. All right.
No, like I mean, the thing is, and this is with a lot of like ska music, there's like definitely, you know, for one coin in the hat of them being a ska band, they have that really high tuning in the snare drum, right? That is mm-hmm. always reminds me of that Mudvayne record that you and I talk about a lot. That's that same super high, like the snare sounds like it's like pop rocks. Like,
yeah.
Like it's definitely like the rhythm section in this band. I know it changes, I think.
I think actually Pete McCullough, the bass player, is one of the more consistent players. It's like there's three members of the band that are really consistent. That's Thomas Kalnoky or mm-hmm. Kalnoky, Jim Conte, and pretty much Pete McCullough. Those are like kind of the anchors of the band.
Because I was going to say, otherwise, the member timeline on that Wikipedia page is a mess.
It revolving is, door. Yeah.
It's crazier than Vendetta Reds, and that's saying something, because that was sure. that's a messy band. Yeah, man. But I don't have a lot of bad things to say about the musicians behind this. And I shouldn't even say a lot of bad. I don't really have anything. It's not okay. bad. Good.
So Thomas is the point of emphasis. All right.
Oh, yeah. We'll he's the there. Problem. He is the problem. Number he's five. Not... he's the biggest problem. Number five. Eastern European horn lines shaped into punk anthems.
It's so funny you say that. So my dad, when we would go driving or whatever, he would usually let me play when I was driving. We always had the rule, the driver gets to pick the music. I put on Everything Goes Numb, and probably about two tracks in, he stopped. He was like, is this like Russian? What are we, like, I need you to play something else. I didn't even think of it as like kind of a Eastern European vibe, but ever since that day, I do hear it. I have zero qualms with it, but I do hear that now.
I think I learned something about myself that Eastern European kind of folk melodies, mm-hmm. I think for whatever reason, I don't gel with them. It doesn't work with me. Because the Ozma also had a lot of Eastern. And I did say that record they did, I said, you know what? It's a very cool experiment. And I like the way that they're trying to meld like power pop, right? With like yeah. Eastern European folk music. I don't think that those melodies are for me. And I think that because so many of, I think for me, at least the first Streetlight record, Everything Went Numb, that seems to be the most.
I believe Everything Went Numb is the first track, and the name of the album is Everything Goes Numb.
That is so annoying.
Just to piss you off a little bit more.
So annoying. Number six, liberal use of gang vocals. A lot of woes.
Yeah. Well, it like I said before, I mean, that's kind of a ska. I mean, they're writing for a live performance. And don't get me wrong, they end off later on saying we're going to try to tour less and record more. But I always had the impression that, yeah, this is written for people to be shouting back with you. Like, it's anthem based. Like, yeah, you want people to be singing along with you. I think he does an excellent job as a lyricist, melody writer, of captivating a lot of people to sing along with him. Now I'm seeing the eyebrow.
I did it a little more exaggerated because you missed the first one. And I wanted to make sure you saw that one. It actually kind of strained my head to do it. I was like,
I stand by what I said. And I know that there's an army behind me somewhere.
There, yeah. Well, you have all of Bel Air Academy behind you. Number seven.
He says that because I do have my Will Smith Bel Air Academy jersey in the background.
Which,
as you all can see.
Yeah, as everyone can see. Number seven, the final one, solid punk backbeats with heavily embellished drum fills.
And their drummers are insane. They go crazy.
They're good. They're
Come on, elaborate.
Musicianship, I don't have problems with. I think it's always the way that stuff is wielded. That's my thing.
My big thing when it comes to the drums and the rhythm section is there's a predictability to what's going to happen next in the song.
Yeah, and there's a Catch-22 song that I think you and I, you just reminded me of. I'll just say it, 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, where there's a part in it where it's that second kind of heavier part, the second whoa section, where he switches up the drum. It was before, it was that really like, that one and two and like snare on the ands.
Gotcha.
And when it switches up in the second whoa part, and it's like this kind of more kind of offbeat, like,
yeah, a very frantic halftime.
I remember I had to learn how to play that song with our friend Nick, and listening to it again, I was like, I always hated that.
It's
them not trying to be unpredictable, which I respect, but it is, it just feels really messy.
It is, but, well, I'll have more to say about that song later.
Okay, I was going to say, I wasn't sure we were going to get to talk about it, so it came to mind, but... All right. So that is why. So are you convinced? I guess you're already convinced, but is that it? Am I missing something?
Of what makes them significant?
Yeah. What makes them so good?
Well, for me personally, I have such a nostalgia factor. Me and my group of friends before you and I met, how we kind of interacted with that. I mean, I can remember sitting out and probably annoying the shit out of anybody who lived across the street from this one particular donut shop, Sweetie Pies, and really anywhere we could go when it was like the 10 of us, maybe 15. When we were together, it's like, this is what we're throwing on. We're all going to just sing along, kind of like just eat donuts, hang out, laugh, maybe get a little high, you know, but we would just play it. And Streetlight accomplished exactly which I can't remember which commandment it was from Volume Straight. The vocals totally invited, you know, like just participation. And it was infectious. Who knows? It could be because we were just a bunch of punk teenagers. It hit.
The band that did come to mind listening to the vocals, and I think some of the, to me, like the best moments were Against Me.
I can see that. That acoustic album, what's the name of it?
I never heard. I didn't hear anything after it was. And it was, I wasn't like a huge Against Me fan anyways. I wasn't like, oh no. Yeah. Searching for a Former Clarity? No.
No.
Say Against Me as the Eternal Cowboy?
No. Is it not on here? Oh, is it listed as an EP? I wonder if it's listed as an EP. White People for Peace. Jesus. I think it's the acoustic EP.
Okay, that's what it's called.
That's what I got here. But yeah, it's got like Jordan's First Choice. It's got We Did It All for Don, Pints of Guinness Make You Strong. If that's not the album, sorry, friends. But yes, you're absolutely right. Against Me had a little bit of that, like, let's all get together and sing this shit at the top of our lungs.
Well, and I would argue both of them have these kind of folk punk origins to them. Like, I would say at the, like, if I'm going to pause, if it's not ska, like the core of what Thomas's songwriting seems to be, is it's folk punk. Like,
I can get behind that.
A lot of like acoustic strumming based. And I think that's like Against Me started as a folk punk band, like playing in like living rooms and stuff. And I think that kind of sing along vibe, I can totally understand it. And there are moments where I think I hear what sounds like a pretty good folk punk band. And I get, and all kind of kidding and like biting Colton opinion aside, there are moments where I'm like, I think I get it. And then there are moments, a lot of moments where there's so much of the same thing.
It does. It does. Sometimes it gets a little, it fills every single inch of the speakers, and that can be jarring for
sure. It's like a maximalist kind of arrangement. And I think that's like the arrangements are the bummer for me. Like that's the thing where I just, for me to interact with it on like a like critical, like musical level, like wanting to like examine the songwriting part of it, it's rough. But as a compassion exercise, because I know how important this band is for you from high school, I was thinking, what is the band that I would dread for us to talk about on this podcast that I loved like when I was in like high school, that I think is kind of comparable? The band I came up with was Unwritten Law.
That would be a little tough for me.
I'm guessing it would be tough for me, to be honest. I think Scott Russo is a way, maybe the worst lyricist ever.
It's been a while since I've listened to them for obvious reasons.
Been a while, but yeah, they're
and
like, they're,
and I dig Stain. Yeah,
yeah, like, I think we all do. Everyone loves Stain. That's not the issue here. But
here come the emails. It's like, no, I don't fucking love Stain.
Come on, America, bring it to us. You like Stain? Stop lying to yourself.
At least that one album.
But and I mean, we've had this discussion before, where talking about these bands on a songwriting level, but then trying to parse out like all of the intangibles that come with music, like just sensory stuff. Like you listen to a song with someone who meant a lot to you, and maybe that person's not around, or maybe it's someone that you really miss or love, whatever.
Yes.
No matter what that song is, doesn't matter. It could be Baby Shark, right? Like
it could be.
I've said this story on the podcast before. The Chipmunk Christmas song was what I proposed my wife to. Right. And whether or not I think that's a great written song, I have beautiful memories of that song.
Yeah, that nostalgia factor will really carry over, whether looking past certain flaws of songwriting, if you will.
So take listener, if you will. Rob is ghost of pop punk past. Colton is ghost of pop punk present.
Present.
All right. In this podcast. Is that fair?
No, not really, because like the ghost of Christmas present was like gleeful, joyful, lived in the moment. You are
I'm the reaper in the shroud. I am wearing all black, actually.
Yeah, I know,
which I
dude.
Didn't mean to be.
But yes, and another thing, just before we get into our categories, I also feel like ska is one of those genres to where sometimes it's more of like a physical get it all out type of sound, where it's like you got to move. You're not going to just sit there and listen to Streetlight. I don't know if that's coming across just right, but it's like you maybe skanking, I guess. But
you've never skanked.
No, I've never skanked. No. I've said it a million times on this. I'm the fold my arms and stand in the background. I can do it. I don't think most people can do this.
I disagree with this premise that ska is the one genre we've done where it's like, you got to move.
I didn't say the one.
Okay.
I said there's certain genres where it's Daft Punk. How often are people really just listening to Daft Punk, like sitting at home doing their taxes?
I wish you could have seen me listen to Daft Punk for that episode. I was this.
Doing your taxes?
I was with my hands folded.
Kind of the evil genius trying to analyze how I can.
Staring, thinking, God, yeah. I got to call Rob. And I did do that with Streetlights. Maybe that was my problem. I should have skanked around the house.
Or do your dishes, nod your head.
Send us videos, people, of you skanking to Streetlight Manifesto. Just for our own enjoyment, we're not going to post it. We just want to look.
Yeah, I'm very tempted to give out your email address. I don't want to see it.
All right, should we start with our categories? Is that...
No, let's burn this a little bit more. Of course, yes, let's get to
our
categories. All right,
we're going
to
do best song, worst song, underrated and overrated, the definitions of which change every episode. Best album and worst album. And we may switch up the order whenever we feel like it. So yes. Would you like to go first?
Hell no. I think everybody's intrigued as to what your best song is.
Okay.
Based off of all that negativity, I'm just as curious, listener.
I had criteria when I was choosing best song. And the first criteria was it had to be shorter than 4 minutes. It had to be. It had to be. And this one is. This is 3 minutes and 43 seconds long, I believe. It is somewhere in the between.
Okay.
I think that song is really good. I think that is actually, when I heard it, I was like, this to me is what the... And I would give them somewhat of a break for the first album, I guess. Although it's not like he hasn't played with a band with horns before. But I could see actually in this song specifically... him trying to figure out what else it would mean to be in a band with horns, with the horn section. How that could be different than just ska horn riff playing the main melody of the song over and over again with that same four on the floor, like punk beat going through everything. It has that really cool jazz solo, the kind of dueling brass solo in the middle of it. It's a cool song, man. And it is not trying, it's stepping outside of the ska matrix, because we're talking already about whether or not they're ska. They certainly want to be a ska band, even though he's not doing the upstrokes on the guitar, right? He's not doing that.
Yeah, he's not doing the on every and.
But no one told the horn section that they're not a ska band. And I think in this, it feels like in this song, they step out of that and they're like a band with horns. And it works to me. And like their bridge is short. Everything works really nicely. The lyrics are fine. He has a, he really treads the same themes a lot in a lot of his stuff.
Absolutely. Honestly, Miller gave blessings to there being flaws.
You know, just like, thank you, Casey.
and now you've made an enemy with Casey. But he said pretty much the same thing, to where like the themes are pretty much the same thing. In fact, I actually want to bring up his text. Why not?
So it's like an unofficial.
Life sucks equals life's hard, but keep going.
It is. I mean, he has a very kind of fatalistic, which I'm not going to fault him for. That's all great. Like verging on nihilism, which I'm all about. But I think that songwriters are like that all the time. I'm like that. You're like that. Like we all paint in certain shades. There's a really great Japanese director, which so I can sound smart. Let me look up the name first before I...
We're just looking shit up.
I don't know. Have you seen the film Tokyo Story?
No.
It's like people... It's like seen as one of like the greatest films ever made. It's Yasujiro Ozu is the director. It's an amazing movie. He's made a lot of really good ones. But a lot of his films touch on the same basic themes. And a lot of them have the same basic kinds of characters. It's usually some older Japanese patriarch and some changing of the time. And that's been a criticism people have given to him. It's like, you're kind of making the same movie. And I'm going to screw up the quote, but to paraphrase it, he says, I make tofu. He's like, that's what I make. He's like, and I try to find different ways to make it. He's like, that's what I do. And to me, they're all different, but you might see tofu, right? It's a version. I butchered it, but that's what he said.
I mean, I have a similar vibe when it comes to Streetlight Tour. Yes. For the most part, you're getting the same dish. But like I told you, I'm addicted to Zatarain's. I enjoy the same dish. I enjoy eating my blackened chicken Alfredo almost every night.
Because I didn't do the quote service because it's beautiful. I'm going to read it out loud. I have always said that I only make tofu because I am a tofu maker. One person cannot make so many different kinds of films. I am like a painter who keeps painting the same rose over and over again.
I didn't need that whole quote. You kind of nailed it with your paraphrasing.
His was more beautiful than me. I just wanted to make sure I got it because it bothered me that I didn't get it.
Oh, yeah,
and also, you know that wasn't because that was over like that. That was such a short thing.
That was much longer than your first paraphrasing.
So somewhere in the between, I always want to say somewhere in between.
I love that chorus. It's a good vibe. And you're right. It is one of their shorter songs.
So where are we at in that? Is that... Am I ringing bells? Does it sound like a good thing to you that that's my favorite song? I think it's them at their best.
That's all right. It's definitely, for me, that's not them at their best, but that's all right. Honestly, I'm not going to say anything that will satisfy you, so why are you going to say something that satisfies me?
You're the expert here. I feel like I'm walking in.
Expert?
I'm not fluent.
Now.
You're the Streetlight dude.
Out of the two of us, fine.
Yeah, I'm saying that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Okay. I want to hear best song.
Oh, it's Here's to Life. I gave all the hints. Halton Caulfield is a friend of mine. We go drinking from time to time, and I find gets harder every time. And he uses Halton Caulfield because Halton Caulfield is like kind of symbolic character for teenage angst, you know. And the song's Here's to Life, and it's a very positive one. Honestly, I'd prefer the Bandits of the Acoustic Revolution, which we've kind of failed to mention that Streetlight is part of a it's like it's a Pokemon of a band. Catch 22 evolved into Bandits of the Acoustic Revolution, and then that evolved into Streetlight.
So this is the Charizard of
this is the Charizard of.
Can I listen to Here's to Life again?
Yeah, but fuck, I'll play it in the background. I'm all in.
Back on the street again. Back on the street again. I'm not going to play you the rain away.
Fuck your eyebrows. The next time I see you, I'm shaving your fucking eyebrows. All right, you've listened to enough, so okay. I'm just gonna
go.
I'm gonna cook a little bit on it, which I have zero notes next to it. I knew I'm like, it's gonna be Here's to Life. It's the song that I play the most, and by all of the different Pokemon evolutions of this band, which is really just two. It's the Charmeleon and the Charizard version. So Bandits and Streetlight. Mm-hmm. It is really for you, Miller, because Miller actually plays Pokemon Go alongside me as well. Thanks, buddy. I love the evolution of the song. I love the lyrics personally. Yeah, I love that little bridge section where it comes down and that, like, hey there, soldier, what did you do? I love how everything builds from there. It's one of my favorite drum moments when it has the big drum fill into the dramatic, lush orchestration of the horn section. And then it comes out and it gives me my little Tool moment. And Miller, again, this is for you. He would always point to me for that last, like, here's to life. Which, yes, I did an octave lower now, everybody, because I don't need to scream in Colton's ear. But I've gravitated to that song. They have tons of songs I love. This wasn't that easy a decision, but I just kind of knew heading into this, yeah, it's going to be Here's to Life. That one makes me happy. And also, it's not to try to make you such a villain in case you have any disagreement on that. It helped me through some hard times. Yeah. Nostalgia for the win.
Man. It's got it. Here's the thing is, I think we've had bands like this. Like, I would say the Hives were a band, I think, that falls into a category like this. Maybe. Yeah, yeah, yes. I would say they switch up a lot, though. I think the Hives are a good example where you kind of get a lot of what the Hives are going to be in that first record, right?
Sure.
Like, there's not a, would you agree with that?
Minus I would say the second record.
Okay. Tyrannosaurus Hives.
Yeah. But I get you. Yeah.
They're pretty much saying, this is who we are. This is what we're going to do. And we're going to do different versions of it, different versions of the Rose, but that's it. And I would say in that way, Here's to Life is, if that's going to be like the essential thing, right?
Yeah,
and everything
card.
Else is the shadow on the wall. I think Thomas would appreciate that I'm doing a kind of literary philosophical reference here. Then it's a good one for that. Like, if that's the prototype, then it works. And if I'm going to put a Streetlight Manifesto song that embodies them in that, like, really frantic, fast, lots of changes, a lot of muted symbols in it, this would probably be a song I would put on there. So I totally get it.
And what's funny is I'm dead serious. The Bandits of the Acoustic Revolution version, I prefer. And there are subtle differences. There really are. It's not completely arranged the same way, which is, you know, that's classic Thomas. He is not going to record a song once.
Can I ask, so this song was written during the Bandits of the Acoustic Revolution period, right?
Yes.
I think a lot of his best songs are not written for Streetlight Manifesto.
That could be the case.
Because there are songs of his I've heard and I go, hey, not bad.
But are we counting Keys Be Nights?
I'm not.
Okay, I won't count it either, even though I will bring up two songs from that, but I won't use it as my... they're going to be honorable, maybe dishonorable mentions.
I did listen to it. I did listen to Keys. And for people who are confused why we're maybe doing it, maybe not, Keys Be Nights is, I believe, technically the second release for Streetlight Manifesto. But it's also technically the band that Thomas was in before, which was Catch 22, the record Keys Be Nights.
Yeah, because Catch 22 and I can't remember the name of the other band, but they're from New Brunswick, New Jersey. And there was apparently a big ska scene out there. And what's the name of the other band that they kind of merged with and that turned into Bandits and then turned into Streetlight? It is, hold on one second, One Cool Guy, which that is such a ska fucking band name.
That's such a ska name.
What was the point we were getting at right there?
Well, I think it was about Keys Be Nights. You were bringing up...
Yes, Keys Be Nights. So Keys Be Nights is a Catch-22 album that they redid in Streetlight.
for reasons. It was for their label. But well, I think we're going to get at that maybe a little later. So,
and just for you, Miller, Catch 22 would be the Charmander. Yeah. Charmander is my favorite Pokemon. I would never evolve that adorable, adorable Pokemon.
You would. I was kidding. I actually don't have any opinion on that.
I'd keep him as a pet. Just be like, ah, just keep your tail away from my clothes.
And hey, I don't know. I feel like, just to be clear, everybody, I was just playing Pokemon Legends Arceus. So I get
there
it.
There we go.
I'm one of you. I'm cool.
Well, you're not in the Pokemon Go world.
No, I don't do that. It's ridiculous.
I love it.
I don't have a smartphone.
I'm always so happy. That's true.
It doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, you're missing out, buddy.
All right. I know you're stalling.
When it comes to smartphones, yeah.
You're stalling because we're going to do worst song.
Oh, no, I have.
You have it.
I do, for sure. The Hands That Thieve.
Buddy, guess what?
Yeah?
The Hands That Thieve.
When I listened to it, I was like, does every song by Streetlight sound like this to Colton? Because it starts off pretty, and then it's fucking chaos. I'm like, I can't, that little glacier statement you sent me, where it's like you're like sliding down a glacier, there's nothing to hold on to. That's exactly how I felt during that song.
Yeah, it is, it's too long. It's long.
Way too long.
And it has several different moments where you think, oh, this is the bridge and now. And I think I keep bringing up the fact that they're long. I think I gave this example to you over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
A really bad Streetlight Manifesto song to me is like whenever you decide to walk somewhere versus drive, or you're just walking for the sake of walking. Yeah. And so you walk away from your house and the whole time you're thinking, no matter how far I walk, I'm going to have to walk the same way back.
Yeah.
Right. And it's going to be the same walk back. It's just doing it again. And I think there's so much of that in, he has these really long, like he has a verse and then he has a pre-chorus, right? Which is mm-hmm. also very long. Like looking at a lyric sheet for Streetlight is dizzy. It's insane.
Oh, absolutely.
So many lyrics, but then he has his chorus and the choruses are very long. And then he has a bridge. And in this song, there are like three different bridges. And there's this really, the one that's truly egregious to me is the one where it gets really kind of just the acoustic, everything drops out. It's the words you spoke, they brought me home. When it was time to fight, we chose a side. For being such an anti-war punk guy, he's unable, I think, to like, it's one of my least favorite things people, like songwriters do, when they bring up like war imagery and like, it's a metaphor. It's about like, I don't know, it's so cliche and expected and it doesn't. And this whole thing, am I wrong? This whole thing's about Victory Records, their old record label.
Maybe. It's really difficult for me when it comes to a band like this. I'll just kind of take bits and pieces of what rang true to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, when I hear a lyric like, and the judge can't decipher his left from his right or his right from his wrong, I hate that lyric.
I love you, man. We're all good.
We're really good at agreeing on the worst songs.
And people, just to know, like, there's all these songs, like, for both of us to choose a song for worst song, like, we're not checking with each other during these 2 weeks, that there's something to that for this to be the worst song.
Yeah, it just, the song out of, and I know that you feel this way about a lot of their music, this is overly congested. When it comes to the band, when it comes to the composition, when it comes to the arrangement, somebody needs to step back and let another part kind of take the front. They're dancing on each other's toes, which is kind of funny. My dishonorable mention is Toe to Toe. I don't like the song Toe to Toe. I love the first lyric, and then it just goes downhill lyrically.
I think it is. It's funny because when I think about that list of seven, and person who posted that, now I kind of feel bad. Like, I don't want to poke too much fun at that, because my list of seven reasons why I love some bands would also be just me wanting to say different things. But
I really would love for you to publish your list of seven of why you don't like Streetlight.
Oh, I will. I could. That could.
I don't
be
know
some,
if you could reach seven. I think
that
you
could
would
be
just
Patreon
stop at
content.
One.
Oh, yeah. I could do it. I think. I just think
just argue against
things.
Volume straight.
All seven things. I feel like they try to do that in every single track. Like this track, they're trying to give you everything. They want to give you the like when the backers come in to do the, like, so we stood our ground and waited for a sign. Like, that big kind of gang vocal thing.
Yeah.
It's just so extra in a song that's already been so extra. And it is, I take this song to be about the record label, and even if it isn't, it feels very much of that kind of ilk. It's I keep building a list of my least favorite genres of songwriting. Do you remember what they are? Songs about holidays.
That's
songs
right.
Songs about going on vacation.
Yes.
There's
whispering.
Others. Whisper. Yeah. Well, don't like spoken word.
Yeah. Well, typically, yeah. I don't like spoken word.
Countdowns.
Well, you hate countdowns a lot more than I do.
That's true. But I think they have a bad track record.
Oh, like, I don't like when you spell out a word. That's the one though.
Yeah. Well, that should never be done. That's pretty.
Not once did I hear Streetlight do that.
That's good for them. I'm certain he wanted to and they held him back. But songs about like beefs with record labels / venue owners. I think Green Day did this too. Like, it's the dumbest reason to write a song. I don't know. Like, it's write tough. It and then sing it into a microphone somewhere and record it, leave it somewhere.
Yeah, well, because I know for that album, they had a lot of record label issues and it took so much to get it out there. I don't know. I can sympathize. They were going through a lot of shit. All right. They got robbed, what, twice?
They got robbed a lot.
Yeah.
But they
which at some point,
that.
Get a freaking security, get somebody to stand in. It's horrible. It's horrible. You guys lost some really good equipment. But Jesus Christ, after the first go, never trust humans ever again.
Yeah.
Have somebody just stand by the van. Now, I don't know the details. I never heard anything about gunpoint. God,
I didn't hear anything like that. It seemed like it was there was a period of time. It's probably still happening. But it seemed like anytime I looked online, another van was getting robbed.
Yeah, it's very true. Be careful out there.
Out there, everybody, lock your vans, please. Well, hey, I feel closer to you already. This is great.
Yeah.
This is I think it's the last time that's going to happen.
I have no idea what's going to happen. Oh shit! Yeah, I'm going to have to count Keysby Nights because for underrated song, I only wrote one thing down.
I have an order. Is it okay? Could we humor me? Can we do overrated first into underrated?
Of course.
Give me your overrated.
No, first. I went first last time.
Okay. Well, my overrated.
Do you have a bit?
They're connected.
Can I guess?
Go ahead.
Is it A Moment of Silence and A Moment of Violence?
You're a very good guesser. Yeah.
Well, you said they're connected, and I'm like, there's only like two songs I can think of.
Basically. I mean, I guess I could have another connections, but that's basically
it. You better have gotten this right. A Moment of Violence. Don't tell me that's the overrated.
No,
or the underrated.
That's underrated. It's the better, because the thing is, listening to A Moment of Silence, it is so long and slow, and it is, and then when it goes into A Moment of Violence, I'm like, this is what the song should have been. It's like a different kind of courage to put the version of the song that works a lot better after the song, the version that, to me, is just a quicksand slow, so slow. And I remember in high school, I said before, you were not the first person to talk to me about Streetlight Manifesto. Our friend Nick, who I believe I had Algebra 2 with in 10th grade.
Smarty pantses.
And who I started to play.
Like, oh,
that
my
out of
God.
The podcast, I'm sorry. But Nick's the one who basically gave me this whole history lesson about ska. And that's how Rob and I met, was playing in a ska band with Nick.
Compliments of Apollo.
House of Condiments. What?
House. It was the con sound.
Take
that
thing
out of the podcast. So, yes, we were in House of Condiments. But yes, that was an interesting adventure, I think, for the two of us, because both of us weren't really ska musicians. And all of a sudden, we're playing ska songs.
Minus the horns, but very much ska. It's still, we've mentioned this before, but one of the best ska versions of Papa Roach's Last Resort.
It's not even that it's the best. It's just Nick's voice was incredible. Every time he did it, that's one of those, it cut right to my funny bone. I had to laugh. And in the most wonderful of ways. He wasn't trying to be serious. And like, it's not those situations where you're laughing at somebody who's trying and failing. He was trying to make us laugh. And boy, did he.
Truly beautiful. But he was the one that had me listen to Streetlight. I remember him having me listen to A Moment of Silence. And I don't think I heard it right away and went, ugh. I think it's like after the fact hearing it now. And I thought, you know what's funny? Can I own it to this? I thought about, in like 5 years ago, I was writing something And I was like bringing up this, like, would it work if I did something about mentioning silence and then I let the song sit? Like, you know, like songs can do that where they let kind of silence seep in. It can be this really cool, powerful moment. And I remembered that Streetlight Manifesto did that. And I went and listened to it and I went, I don't think it'll work.
I think that part's great. Dun, 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 dun. Man, I don't think it's molasses at all. I think if I had to choose between those two songs, flip it. I think A Moment of Violence, to me, while I still love that song as well, I think that would be the one that I would take off the album if I had to.
I just think I want them to be more of a punk band than a punk hybrid ska band, because I think there's a better punk band in some of these. Like, and I think specifically a folk punk band at the core of it. And I want that 2 to 3 minute, like, these albums are so long, man. Give me...
Honestly, the albums are not that long to me. Like 40 to 50 minutes.
Every song is like, on every average, song's 5 minutes.
Long. The songs are long. And I got to learn from the hands that thieve. This must be how Colton hears it.
I think that's a nice, you know, awful. I don't think most people want to see the world through Colton's eyes, but you got a chance.
You're no longer in vacation mode, and I'm no longer in vacation mode. I had two episodes where I got to talk to more agreeable people who weren't so stubborn, but
very, very, very nice, very understanding. Yeah. Very apologetic about their opinions.
Honestly, that was nothing. You know what, Max, Leo, if you guys are listening now, my least favorite thing about each episode is you had to bring up that these are just opinions. These are... So I was like, shut up, man. We're fucking going after whatever.
That's once you've done, like, what, 38 of these at this point? For me, on 36. Like, you just let it fly. You don't think about it.
If you don't like it, you don't like it, man. Fuck the world.
Well,
you
would, I did a very small addendum to Overrated. I had Point Counterpoint as my other Overrated.
That was really close, but, man, I just love it. I wanted to, based off of just, like, listens, call that one out, but the nostalgia got to me. That is such a sing-along.
It's sing-along, and I know the DNA of a common sing-along chorus is it's going to be about as, like, simplistic as simplistic gets, but
yeah,
I just really think it does not help the song. And maybe if you're in a crowd of people and singing it, it's great, but when you're listening to it on record, the lyrics for me get real rough, and I can't, every time I hear TikTok clock, I was like, he just needed more syllables to get to clock. And then he was like, what does a clock do? Like, I know what that was. He didn't think TikTok clock. He can't think of anything else to say. And so he says it because he needs the syllables to get to clock.
Yeah, and I get you. I definitely see the dot.
Yeah, if there's something wrong, would you be oh so strong? Again, I think it's those little bits where he doesn't know what to say, so he has to throw stuff in to allow more syllables to get to these rhymes. I don't know. Anywho, I had to talk about that for a second. I'm done. You can give me both of your underrated and overrated.
Well, my first choice was going to be Dear Sergio. I've never really thought of that song as that great a tune. A lot of people love that song, but it's on Keys Be Nights.
So can we unpack this for a sec? Because we said we would talk about Keys Be Nights. That's not a Streetlight Manifesto record, right?
Yeah.
Are we approaching this as like a Thomas, I remember his last name. It's like a discussion of Thomas.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, Thomas, I'm not that good with Eastern European last names.
I guess here's where maybe my question about Streetlight Manifesto versus these other bands he's been in. Is the thesis statement we're making here that when he's writing a Streetlight Manifesto, he writes differently? Do you think that?
No.
It's the same. So for you, him re-recording Keys Be Nights, it's just more Thomas songs, doesn't matter.
Raichu and Pikachu are the same.
So there's nothing, there's no difference then between Catch 22, Banshee Acoustic Revolution, Streetlight Manifesto, they're all the same, what you're
essentially
telling me.
Because I think, like I said, I think the bass player and the alto sax are, I think those guys were also part of the ride. And it's like those are kind of like I said, they're kind of the common ground amongst these three bands,
mm-hmm.
or artist movements, whatever you want to call it. But I do have another one, so we don't have to go with Dear Sergio, but that was the most obvious one for me.
For overrated?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Failing Flailing, that's one that, you know me, I usually like to go with, okay, that's way too many listens.
Mm-hmm.
For as much as I know that my group of friends back in the day really loved that song, I was like, I could do without this one. It's congested. It's a lot.
5 minutes and 30 seconds long.
It's squeezing in so many. And sometimes I can get really exhausted.
I'm listening to this real quick. I'm going to listen to it one more time.
I really do like the horn intro, though.
I do want to say that even just going back and listening to it, like I do a little like click on like a minute in, and then you move the mouse, click randomly to like 2 minutes, yeah. 3 minutes. It feels like it's all still building to a chorus, and it's like a very quick window into what I think both of us had said makes up the worst parts of some of these songs. It is so perfunctory and it drags. There's yeah. not a, like, there's got to be something. Do you agree with me on this part? If they worked on editing, look at a lot of their songs that are 5 minutes and over. I'm not saying they can't have an over 5 minute song, but if they looked at a lot of their songs that are 5 minute over and worked on trimming them down, at least for the record,
you know,
do you think they'd be better?
I really hate to scare you on this. I think they probably did some trimming.
I believe it. I do believe.
Yeah. I'm sure there probably was some cutting with that many members, and like we established earlier, they're all really talented.
Yeah.
There were probably a lot of ideas thrown out there. So no, I don't think that they'd be able to I don't think they'd be able to trim it anymore.
Well, and I will say that I know they're discussing like the next record, and he said it's taking a long time because these are long songs with a lot of different parts. Some yeah. version of that. I was like, just doing it again. Stop doing this, man. Yeah.
This was the toughest category. I was like, bad songs, easy. Overrated, it was so tough. I liked everything that was like the top five Spotify listens. I like Flailing. It's a good song, but it was just, I was like, out of all the songs that I can think of that are heavily listened to, I guess that's my least favorite.
Wow. What is your underrated? Because I don't think we covered that yet.
Technically, we did. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm not joking. When that song starts, and just because it's probably nostalgia, but I get emotional. I did it again today. I sent you that text a few nights ago where I was like, dude, I got a nostalgia tear and chill. You know? I did the same thing today. When I listened to it, it was probably about 15 minutes before we were supposed to record, and,
mm-hmm.
and then things happened and I had to be even longer. But just there's something about that acoustic start, and I do have a little bit, I get a little jarred by, it's like, oh shit, there's the band. Predictably, there's the band coming in way faster. But I just think that opening is so beautiful, and I love the na 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 na. It's a very simple. I mean, think about it. You think he's a bad lyricist? Maybe he did you a favor on that one. It's just like, it's na na na, it's na 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 na.
Whoa, 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 hey. Whoa!
Yeah.
Whoa. Hey, and this is the song that I remembered. I mentioned this before when I played my very first show with Nick. Wasn't with you. It was with
Nick and Mike O'Neill.
Mike O'Neill, who was a very nice guy. I played that one show with him.
I loved Mike. Very I haven't cool. seen him in a very long time. But
he was a good bassist. It was fun. And we were, as a band, not great because we only got one practice in, which would be the beginning of a long career of me not getting to practice enough before shows. But we did 99 Red Balloons. We did The Hives, Hate to Say I Told You So. And then I remember he played the song. He's like, Nick was like, I really want to play this Catch 22 song. And I completely forgot about it until you mentioned 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. And That there's something to this. Again, it's weird to me that when he's writing in Catch 22, or I don't know much about Fancy Acoustic Revolution, it feels like he allows himself to write more out of a box. And
gotcha.
There's a mode, it feels like, when he writes in Streetlight Manifesto, where he's like, this is the blueprint that works. And when I hear him in like earlier stuff, he feels more playful. I think for him to think he's more progressive in Streetlight, I disagree. I think it's the opposite. I think I hear him being more playful and progressive in a song like this. This to me is what a kind of like proggy punk could be. Progressive in the way that it's not like musically, you know, technical. It's more that it's in structuring.
To me, it just feels very unforced. And there are a lot of moments within Streetlight to where the music is forced. Sometimes they pull it off, but sometimes they don't. But it's always like, you can tell they're striving for something a little more complicated, a little more like, there's some place we got to fill in here. When I listen to 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, I'm like, I feel like it probably came together in that one, that wonderful place that I'm sure you've been and I've been before, to where a song just kind of falls into your lap when you start writing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I love about it. And they have other songs to where he starts with just like this acoustic thing. And it's like, there's a part of me like shielding myself, going like, shit, he's going to ruin this acoustic thing with the band kicking in. And it's like hyper punk or hyper ska. This song,
there's not a lot of horns. Am I crazy? There's not a ton of horns on this song.
Not a ton of horns, and it's emotional, and it's not necessarily a light at the end of the tunnel type of song, which I dig that.
I think if I took Kisby Nights more seriously as a Streetlight record, this might have been my favorite. This might have been best song.
I can see that.
But I think I was just never operating under the mode to count Kisby Nights, because I guess I didn't fully buy into the fact that these were meant to be just kind of like different players, same basic product. But yeah. I get it. I'm in it. And Nick, by the way, thank you for having me play with you at the Lancaster High School Carnival. And then,
Well, because that album doesn't count, my underrated song is A Moment of Silence. All right, let's move.
Well, I'm getting everybody's. I think you're not going to like me when we get to these albums. I am very curious, though. Should we start with worst? Historically, now we go with worst.
Yeah, come on. We try to end on a positive.
Okay, here's the thing. Right now, what I am looking at is Everything Goes Numb.
Yeah,
it was the album I had the worst time with. I'm going to change it to The Hands That Thieve as my worst.
Cool, man. Because we're running low on time here, so that's perfect. Because that's my least favorite album as well, and he did it twice. There's The Hand That Thieves, the acoustic performance in a different band. What's going on, Thomas?
So wait, there's The Hand That Thieves is the name of the record.
So this one is The Hands That Thieve.
Okay.
The Hand, singular, is another album with these same songs. See, and Google is already confused.
You've confused Google. That's a thing.
Tokay, Tohkay, The Hand That Thieves, full album. And no, that is not me mistaking. Maybe there's another album with different songs. No, that's what happened. It was like, we're going to do an acoustic version of this album and give it a different band name.
I want to read the quote that he said about that. Thomas Kalnacki says, the albums may have the same song titles, lyrics, and chord progressions, but the similarities end there. Those are a lot of similarities, my guy. Yeah, my guy.
Yeah, that's a very, very...
Those are the same songs.
Yeah.
This is a Cope Hope situation.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Cope...
Don't know what he's trying to do. I don't think
this guy gets how that stuff works.
I really respect him, honestly, as a songwriter and musician. I know you might not agree with that, but I think we can both agree, like, stop it. Stop it. The Pokemon only gets 3 evolutions.
Is there a 4 evolution Pokemon?
I don't think so.
There's Eevee, but that doesn't count, right?
Eevee evolves into a bunch of different
types. Also, neither of us are going over the original 150. I don't think we can. Well, next episode,
I think
Rob's
going to
do the
we're
punky
not
rap.
Going to. Yeah.
So, yeah, the reason for me that Hands of Thieves is the worst is it. I was listening to the first two and I was thinking, OK, I'm actually interested in what they do for number three. Like, and I'm interested in what things change and what they kind of decide to flip over. And this is the most kind of generic of what I came to understand as Streetlight Manifesto. Like, it kind of, it shows the least amount of growth. And I think to me, it, listening to Everything Goes Numb, some of the songs I had such a rough time with, but I always give first albums more of a window, right? Yeah. More of a break. If you're three albums in, you've got to know what this band is. And I think he to him, he does. And it's,
sure.
I don't know.
I felt bad because this is, if I'm not mistaken, their last release.
It is, yeah.
To date. Yeah. What is it with bands or their last album? And thank God it's your last album. There are so many, just they lose something. And I think this album starts off all right. I mean, I think Ungrateful is good. Littlest Thing's fine. Things start to get a little shaky with the Hands That Thieve. I like With Any Sort of Certainty. If Only for Memory's not bad. They broke him down. We're going the wrong direction.
That was bad.
Toe. Yeah, toe to toe. Holy shit. We're going the wrong direction. Oh me. Oh my. Damn it. And then Your Day Will Come. So beautiful at the beginning. If he would have just kept it acoustic, I think that song would have worked. And that's what I was talking about. I was cringing listening. Because to be honest, this was the only album I had not heard.
Mm-hmm.
Right away, listening to that song, I'm like, you're going to fuck it up. I know what you're going to do. I know what you guys are going to do. Here it is. There's the band. There's the. So he speeds up the progression. He's just like, damn it. No.
Yep. Yeah, I don't think that you and I will ever be on the same page on what we think of him as a lyricist and as a kind of like nuts and bolts songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. I don't. But
that's kind of my history with this band. I've never really met anybody who kind of likes them. It's always like, no, fuck them or love them.
But can we agree on this? I think, and this is actually my bigger issue. The lyrics, okay, I'm going to give it a pass. Although a very startling amount of people on this podcast have said that lyrics don't matter in the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I should say.
What, two? Me and Max?
It's like Leo
brought up lyrics.
That's true. Leo, you're my guy. Okay. It's like people, like a grown person saying they don't eat vegetables. Eat your vegetables. Listen to your lyrics.
First of all. Well, Colton, if that's your case, there's a startling amount of adults who do not eat their vegetables.
And they have, like, I can't tell you how many celebrities I hear about now where, who is it, Al Michaels, the NFL guy?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I hate vegetables.
Never had a vegetable in my life.
Be a grown up. What the hell is the matter with you?
What is it? The keto diet has no vegetables, right?
No, yeah, you eat vegetables. I mean, you eat a lot of meat. Where the hell are we? But what I was going to say is, I think we could both maybe agree. I think his arrangements and like where instruments go, what sections are going where, that to me is pretty bad. And I think that last song you mentioned, and like a lot of these, I mean, even in the Hands That Thieve, I thought like you, that opening was pretty cool.
Yeah. I would love to be a fly on the wall to see the writing process because I want to know who's like responsible.
As we're talking, starting to think that the band that is maybe the best kind of prototype to what Streetlight Manifesto is that we've talked about is Green Day. And if you go back to how we talked about Green Day, I think, and what I mean by that is they come out with a formula that works, right? With gotcha. Those first couple of albums. I think they have a lot more going for them in terms of, I mean, we talked about this before. I don't think this is a crazy thing. Billy Joel Armstrong is a really great melody writer. He can write some really great lyrics. I think
I like the way you phrase that. He doesn't always,
but he can't for the most part. He does. We both had a lot of good things to say.
Yes,
right?
We did.
I think what I love about Green Day is as they get further into their career, they start to see how they can still give a lot of what makes them great as a band together, that cohesion, but doing it in different ways. That's why I think like something like Warning works so well. Right. And even like Nimrod and American Idiot. Yes. Right. Like,
I thought you came around to American Idiot.
I did. That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying I had like, you know, initially Bluster, Colton.
Yeah.
that's what I would want from a Manly Streetlight Manifesto. Like, find another way to be yourselves.
I feel like we're having the conversation for why we're going to rank them the way we're supposed to after the break. Hold that thought is what I'm
saying. Let's wait on that. But so
you're making a great point,
but I'm ready.
I just disagree. So let's just get into best album.
Best album.
No, you are going first. Okay. Because you know what mine is.
Yeah. Somewhere in the between.
Yeah.
I had to choose the album where I think the best song is.
That's all right. I really love that album. Okay. No, this was the last album I listened to by them because the first time listening to The Hands That Thieve, I think I'm done, guys. I'm tapping out. I think they've lost it. Looking at all these songs, I personally don't see a bad song. I'm sure you can still.
Oh, I think Down, Down, Down to Mephisto's Cafe was pretty good. I mean, if I'm looking at the first five songs, I'm already seeing what to me dragged, which was, oh God, these are that weird length. It's the 4 to 5, 6 minute length. Like, if it's a 5 minute song, it's got to be either 4 or 6 or something. There's a lot of 5 minute songs on their discography, but there's a lot here that I like because I felt like the horns were able to be different. They got to play different roles than just sing the main melody, right? Yeah. Over those like little music breaks and then go into the fast, frantic verse where he's just yelling really basic ABAB rhymes at you. Like, there was some cool stuff. I still think the coolest part of this band is that jazz breakdown and Somewhere in the Between. I think it's so great.
It is a very good breakdown. I mean, but I think actually the horn sections, there are times on this album and on my favorite album where I go like, that's brilliant. That's brilliant songwriting, or like horn orchestration. I don't know how familiar you are with trying to do that, but I did it for a song with Kenneth. I'm sure you're listening right now. An old bandmate of mine. We did 7 Car Pileup on the freeway together. Mm-hmm. We never released it, but we had a song where we were really trying to pull off a Streetlight vibe, or maybe it was Bandits, or maybe it was Cash 22. I don't know what we were trying to pull off, but we were trying to pull off some along those lines. And I was just using, you know, a MIDI keyboard trying to arrange horns. Not easy. I mean, maybe for somebody who's well versed in it, but I was very impressed at how difficult it can be to make it sound just right.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right. I think they kill it on Somewhere in the Between. But yeah, looking at all the songs, I don't really have much objection. I think The Blonde Led the Blind is a dumb song title.
Oh yeah, there's some bad. There's some bad. If we're going off of that, we have a whole other discussion to have.
That'll be next episode. We'll have a part two, Colton. Get ready, buddy.
Can't do this. My marriage won't survive it.
That was another reason that I told Colton we have to listen to Keys Be Nights now, because I was like, do you want to cover Cash 22? Let's get it out of the way.
I have to tell this story where I was just listening to Streetlight at the table, and my poor wife, who has to go through, she doesn't get a choice. She has to go through each of these musical journeys with
you. May want to rephrase that. She does have a choice. She's just.
What do you mean? She's in the house with me. She's not going to just leave the house.
She can go for a walk.
She doesn't really have a choice. But
love you, Casey.
This was hard.
Not Miller. I love you, Casey Saylor.
Casey Takamoto.
She didn't take your last name? Mm-hmm. Good for her.
I mean, yeah, Casey Saylor's weird. When you said it, I was like, who's that? I want to hear your best album.
No, I want to talk more about your marriage being almost broken up by Streetlight. A Casey almost made you lose your marriage to a Casey.
Yeah. Well, in which case, I would have had to marry Casey Miller. It's the only way to even it out.
He'd have taken you in. You'd have to listen to a lot more Streetlight, though.
That's true.
Dude, of course it's Everything Goes Numb. Are you kidding me? Like, I've been sending text messages to old friends because I've been listening to this album over the last week. Just going like, hey, just thought of you listening to this album. It takes me back to those days. I won't do what I usually do where I go over each track.
Give me your top three.
Top three off of this album?
Yeah.
All right. Well, obviously, Here's to Life. Fair. The Big Sleep, which is beautiful to me, and A Better Place, A Better Time.
Okay.
I think A Better Place, A Better Time is probably my second favorite song by them. The Big Sleep is really close, but I mean, that's just, you know, like closing out the album.
you know, and has that beautiful just like really good. And as we close our eyes for the big sleep. See, I'm taking myself there. But A Better Place, A Better Time. That's it's walking a dangerous line of me thinking that it's going to be campy, but it's because it's so positive. But it works for me. Just every time I hear it, I can feel it. And that's, you know, it's just my opinion.
I just went, like, the whole time you're talking, all I'm thinking is this is great. Like, and this is, like, I think that the last couple of episodes that we at least have recorded with each other, what I think has been a really interesting continuing conversation. And it's, to me, one of the many things I love about recording this podcast with you is every episode we get another opportunity to lift the hood and see what is it that makes these songs actually work. Like, what is it that makes the gears work with each other? What is it about these, like, human beings in this room with each other that generated something that can lead to you, like, having these, like, nostalgia emotional tears and calling up old friends? Like, that's art, right? And that's cool. That's really freaking cool. It's, I think that's what a lot of us do or want to do.
And Miller, I still don't consider that sincerity.
But I think that is the kind of ongoing question, thesis, whatever you want to call it, that I am still invested in. Is it really just this, like, alchemist kind of conjuring that happens where when you listen to a song that I think is fundamentally flawed when I hear it, and yet then I hear, like, I'm not getting something out of it? Because I could point to songs that I still sing that I know in my brain are heavily flawed. And yet, shit, when I listen to Unwritten Laws, Elva, right? It is just like you said, it's me singing that on the way home from high school with Nikki, my sister, and us singing Seeing Red together and, like, singing the chorus, like, back to back. Those are some of my favorite memories.
My sister bought, what's the name of that Stained album?
Oh, Break the Cycle.
Yeah, Break the Cycle. She bought that because she heard me just singing It's Been a While.
that's such a nice story. On the drive home. I love that.
And she was like, that sounds pretty cool. We're going to swing by Warehouse really quick.
Warehouse, that's a place to get music.
That's right.
Yes.
Everybody, so, come visit Lancaster.
So what I love is we can end this conversation before we get into the ratings part with, I'm with you, man. I love you, and I get it.
I love you, too.
And here we are. Mm-hmm. Should we now hear our, I don't know who's going to give the ad break, but someone's going to give an ad break. And
it will be, you know what, everybody, not only are we a good podcast, but Chit Show is a really great podcast, and hear a little bit more about it. Leo?
When it comes to making the goings-on of the world entertaining, we got you covered. The Chit Show is a news, pop culture, geek culture, and music podcast hosted by none other than Danny, a.k.a. Danko, and me, Leo, a.k.a. DJ Brute. Tune in as we cover all sorts of topics with a very opinionated and wild twist. The Chit Show Podcast, where chit chat and shit shows come together for your entertainment. Tune in on your favorite streaming platforms with new episodes dropping every other Monday. Again, that's The Chit Show, a Baseblown Entertainment podcast.
I'm getting stressed thinking about all that. All right. Welcome back, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Happy feelings, happy times. We're going to talk about our...
I found a way to make Colton less stressed out.
There are other things in the world to be stressed about versus just Streetlight Manifesto. Yeah. But I am ready to give you our total, serious, very much recorded, actually because of a very good friend of the podcast, Casey Miller, very much recorded.
Miller even said he was like, I think you guys are going to have a really good episode. I agree with you, Miller. Yeah, I think we did.
It was fun. It really was. And it's a 1 to 10 rating.
Yep.
I think I know what I'm going to give. Are you? You go first. Because you're waiting for me to give mine. I want you to go first.
So alongside Miller giving me a shitload of emails, because I'm really the one who checks our emails. No.your.writes.podcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Whole bunch of emails from Miller. Also a whole bunch of text messages from Colton. I'll say over the last week.
Yeah.
And all of them, of course, 2 hours before I have to wake up for work. So thanks, Colton.
Put your phone on silent.
I don't know how to
work. You do an alarm volume.
Don't tell me how to function a smartphone.
That's fair. That's fair.
But I got one particular text message to where you asked, you used a term that I ended up editing out when we were talking about Vampire Weekend because I was not familiar that.
Yeah,
I'm getting this out there now. I used a term to describe some Vampire Weekend songs. I was uneducated on how much that could offend people, and I, as you saw, I damn near had a panic attack going like, we're three episodes in and I'm already
talking about it now? We edited it out.
Because you sent me a text saying, so if Vampire Weekend is, and what I edited in, frantic, then what does that make Streetlight? And I sent you a message going like, well, I like Vampire Weekend. I wasn't saying anything that negative. So I gave Vampire Weekend a 7. I'm giving Streetlight Manifesto a 7.1. I do like Streetlight a hair more than I like Vamp. If I have my like top 100, if I'm doing those rankings, Streetlight's going to go up. I would prefer them over Vampire Weekend. And I love Vampire Weekend. We've talked about Ezra Koenig a whole bunch.
I don't think you like him that much. I was kidding.
I mean,
that wasn't an invitation.
I would say a 7.1 because that's usually my like, you're a good band if I give you a 7.
Okay.
Streetlight, it is one of my favorite. It's a formulative band. I have so many memories attached to it that I got to give it a hair above, but I don't find them to be a flawless band or anything along those lines. I just think that's a nice, honest way of putting it and also giving Colton a little small slight, which is in the true nature of this podcast.
First thing, I'm going to stop texting you if you keep telling people what I texted you.
Don't act like we haven't brought up text messages before.
I just don't want it to be any. It's a 3.5 out of 10 for me. It's a 3.5 out of 10. I think so.
Miller predicted this. You're insane.
It was gonna. It's like close to a 4. I got nothing, man. They are below the Weezer line for me because they've done. Insane. They got to be below 5 because 5's the Weezer line, so it's got to be below that. And they're above. Minus the bear.
Insane. It's insane.
That's my truth.
Join us next episode when we have Casey Miller as a guest.
I don't know what to say. I didn't have a fun time. This was fun. The two weeks leading up to this.
I thought for sure 5 out of 10. I thought for sure I was going to get a 5 out of 10.
5's a Weezer line. They've perfectly set up the way I think about bands on this podcast.
Bums me out.
They don't get anywhere close to the highs of a band like Weezer. They don't get
anywhere close to the lows of a Weezer.
They're like mid Weezer all the time. That's why it's got to still be below 5.
All right, we should just move on because I am a little heated. I'm a little verklempt. That's tough. 3.5. Terrible. Terrible. That is your worst rating to date. And I don't mean that in like the number. I mean just how wrong you are.
In the number. That's don't Thomas me. Like don't say the thing and then say like you said the thing and then you said not
you
that, but the
you
thing
don't
that
know,
means exactly that.
In this episode, you don't know your left from your right, and you don't know your right from your wrong. All right.
That's so bad. That's really bad.
There's a terrible moment in Know Your Rights history.
You're not as angry as I was when you chose Every Man as a Molly as Say Anything's Worst song.
And I stand so much behind
that now.
I know,
and even seeing you now, so I know you stand by it.
Even more. You've like solidified it with your ranking. Say Anything had nothing to do with this episode until you said that, and now it has everything to do with it.
Yeah, well, here we go, everybody. I don't know where this leaves us.
Every song by Streetlight is better than Every Band.
If it
has
makes you feel better, I'm looking at 3 out of 10 on my screen. I gave them a boost from this conversation.
No,
and then
that
you
make
giving
me
them
better.
0.1 over Vampire Weekend.
That's
it wasn't
fair.
A 4
You're
anymore.
Right. You know,
it was 3.5. It was going to be a 4 out of 10.
That's true. I mean, this is America. Right, this episode of this podcast, this is America.
It's still America. Now, we have an issue here where I think we both know the band for
we do
next week.
So I've already read enough emails. And you know what? This is an email from Halloween 2023, in which I did respond saying that we'll probably get around to taking that request in February. Mm-hmm. Clearly, I've dragged that out. And Danny Cardona, I'm very sorry we dragged it out. We're going to keep on riding the request train for the time being. Actually, probably just for the next episode.
Just these two.
Yeah, this might be the end of it. But Danny Cardona from The Chit Show, as you know, I have my Helga Pataki to the side here, my little gum shrine. Listen to that podcast. He's funny as hell.
Hey Arnold references are deep cuts. I like it, though.
And Leo, you do great on the podcast, too. I'm just saying it's time. Danny, I'm sorry that we took so long, but we're doing the episode. And to quote Danny, I think Casey Crescencio is one of the best writers in progressive rock with his project and band, The Deer Hunter.
We're listening to more concept records, I believe. I think that is on the docket.
We're doing five albums, and God bless him, he already kind of spelled it out for us. He's like, it's a conceptual project that is 5 acts. Tell me what you think of it if you ever get around to it. Which, by the way, Danny, you saying if you ever get around to it kind of gives the leeway of like, give us some time to cook. We're a young podcast.
If you also would like to see your heroes beaten and dragged through the streets as we saw today, then please request someone for us to cover.
What are you doing? I thought we just
met. Now I'm in it. Now I feel like I'm in it. I feel like
fuck it. From now on, we're no longer doing hints. We're just somebody email us. We'll do whatever you ask.
That's not what I wanted. You called my bluff.
Yeah. But yes, the Deer Hunter. Now I don't have any history at all.
I have very little. I've listened to more than you have. And I'm excited to listen to more because I think what I've listened to, I've liked. I think it was at a time when a lot of progressive bands, not to say anything, but it was after Coheed got bigger. A lot of progressive bands were dipping in. I think prog bands have always done concept records, but of the emo variety, there were a lot of concept records coming out. And I have a very good story to tell about the Deer Hunter. They were lovely people.
Did like Streetlight play at UCSB? And you just were like, those guys were dicks.
They're the kind of band where I think if I had met them, I'd have a lot more nice things to say. But I think so too. I got nothing to say.
Well,
I can't humanize them.
I'm glad that
I'm like a drone operator, man. I'm miles and miles away. I have no soul. I'm just killing people with no feeling.
I literally have zero idea what I'm about to listen to over the next 2 weeks. I think I've listened to one song.
Here we go. I love you, man. And I love everyone for listening. Thank you for listening and stuff. It's cool that we have people listening.
I believe I told you. When we first started, if we don't have at least 5 listeners an episode, let's just have a phone call every 2 weeks. Fortunately, we far exceed.
We're getting there, man.
I'm not going to throw the number out there because I don't want to brag.
That's exactly. Everybody, have a great 2 weeks. Yes. Enjoy the Deer Hunter. And buddy, I'll talk to you later. Talk to you soon.
Sounds good. I fucking hate you. I cannot believe that you're ready.
Boom, boom, maybe.
Yeah.